What we're doing is we're actually doing a more dynamic active where we're going ahead and we're pursuing it in three different locations.
Studying the West Nile virus in Haines, and officials close parts of the Chilkat to king salmon fishing. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedmiller. Those stories and more up next. A low abundance of king salmon in the Chilkat River has prompted the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to close portions of the Chilkat Inlet and southern portions of Chilkat River to sport and subsistence fishing. The northern Chilkat Inlet is usually closed to king fishing through July 15th and through the fourth week of July in the Chilkat River. But Richard Chapel, Division of Sports Fisheries with Fish and Game, said escapement goals are falling way short and prompting the extended closure.
We have never closed this portion of Chilkat Inlet and the Chilkat River for this time period before. We're adding some closure time to the northern Chilkat Inlet and the Chilkat River this year to allow extra time for a king salmon to migrate up the Chilkat River. Because it appears that we have a very weak Chilkat king run this year, and it also appears to be very late in its run timing.
Chapel said the river management plan calls for an in-river run of between 1,800 and 3,600 large king salmon. He said this year's run is on track to see only 1,400 to 1,600 kings. The Chilkat is the most recent Alaska king run to cause concern. The Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, streams in Cook Inlet, and the Taku River have all suffered low runs this season. And Chapel said despite the distance between the rivers, the runs seem to be struggling for probably the same reasons.
Usually, the Western Alaska king salmon runs are pretty independent of what happens in Southeast Alaska. But this year, they both happen to be on a low population trend right now. So apparently due to marine survival, because we're not, you know, through our coated wire tagging efforts, we're not documenting excessive harvest of Chilkat kings. It just seems to be the ocean production phase of their lives is not very successful, or not as successful as it has been.
Sockeye fishing on the Chilkat side is still going strong and still allowed in Chilkat Inlet south of the boundary line and north of 19-mile line. Chapel said anyone who nets a king salmon south of the inlet line is encouraged to release it. The American Bald Eagle Foundation in Haines is looking for help from residents for a study on the West Nile virus. The foundation is taking samples from birds found dead in the Chilkat Valley to determine if the West Nile virus is present here. Dr. Dan Hart, raptor curator at the foundation, said the virus has not been found in Alaska before, but this study will help determine if that is still the case.
However, most of the studies that we're aware of have been passive studies where people just would casually find a dead corvid or a dead bird, and then they would send it to the state, and the state would test it, and that was it. What we're doing is we're actually doing a more dynamic active where we're going ahead and we're pursuing it in three different locations.
The foundation is asking anyone who finds a dead bird of the corvid or crow family to notify the foundation. They will come retrieve the bird and take samples necessary for testing. The Juno Raptor Center and the Bird Treatment and Learning Center in Anchorage are also part of the study. Samples will be sent to the University of Missouri School of Veterinary Medicine, where a pathologist and veterinarian will analyze the samples.
If we find any positive cases, each sample that we take is uniquely identified and retained. And so if we find anything positive, we can go back and we can retest again and do as many tests as necessary to confirm that we have it or we don't have it.
The results will also be published in the Journal of Veterinary Medicine. Dr. Hart said the study is important because the West Nile virus is often fatal in most birds. The virus is transmitted through mosquitoes. It can also affect humans, although only a small number of people experience serious side effects of the virus. Still, Dr. Hart said the study, and identifying if the virus is present in the state, can help humans understand if they need to take more precautions than usual against mosquitoes. It can also help the foundation and other bird and wildlife agencies decide if more surveillance or studies are needed to track the virus. The foundation is sponsoring and funding the study. It has funds to test up to 275 bird carcasses. Dr. Hart said anyone who sees a dead bird is asked to call the foundation at 766-3094.
But if someone finds a dead bird, which is a corvid, and I'll repeat, that's crows, ravens, magpies, jays, or jackdaws, any of those five birds, if they find one dead, if they would just be kind enough to give us a call, we'll send somebody out, We'll pick it up so that it meets the protocol studies. We'll bring it in here. We'll do a specimen sampling, and then we'll ship that off for analysis. And by doing that, we have a lot more eyes, obviously, a lot more so-called boots on the ground, so that people all over are looking for those, and that makes it a little more proactive as opposed to just the occasional person saying, oh, I found a dead one.
Dr. Hart emphasizes that people should not handle the dead birds themselves. Alaska mine regulators want to be informed on Chieftain Metal's plans to treat acid rock drainage at the old Tulsiqua Chief Mine in British Columbia. As we reported a couple weeks ago through KTOO in Juneau, the company shut down its interim water treatment plant last month due to unanticipated costs, telling Canadian regulators it needed to improve plant operations as well as raise money to run it. In a letter this week to Chieftain, Alaska Large Mine Coordinator Kyle Mosell urged the company to quickly resolve the problems and bring the plant back online.
And as they're working through those challenges and working to bring it back online, I would appreciate if they kept me in the loop so that I can be responsive to interested public and agencies on this side of the border.
Acidic water has been draining out of the old mine into the Tulsiqua River, a tributary of the Taku, for more than 60 years. When Chieftain purchased the property 2 years ago, it inherited the problem and the BC government's requirement to clean it up. The state has no jurisdiction over the project, but regularly conveys Alaska's concerns to Canadian environmental officials, including the Taku River's importance to the commercial, sport, and subsistence salmon fishery.
We're not regulating this mine. We're essentially looking over the fence on a project happening in our neighbor's yard. So I want to be kept in the loop on what's happening, sure, because we want them to be responsive to our concerns, you know, about potential downstream effects.
Chieftain installed the water treatment plant last fall. It's been operating since December. BC environmental officials say water quality from the old mine was significantly improved while it was running. But the company says it has spent more than $9 million on the plant. Chieftain has reduced the number of workers at the mine site while it looks for ways to reduce costs of operating the facility. In an email response to Mosell, Chieftain Metal's chief operating officer Keith Boyle quoted a company news release about the suspension. Boyle also said he would keep Mosell informed as the company works the bugs out of the water treatment system and secures financing for it. Mine critics called Boyle's response totally inadequate, but Mosell said he's satisfied. He hopes to get the same information Canadian regulators get from the company. Last year, Juneau's legislative delegation created the Taku River Task Force to gather information about possible industrial development in the watershed. Representative Beth Kertula says the delegation is watching the latest developments as the company continues to study reopening the old mine, which is likely the solution to ending the acid rock drainage. Our Skagway reporter Jim Devereaux is undertaking a project to introduce us to some of Skagway and Haines area musicians. This week, Jim sat down with Skagway artist Nate Weiler. He's been spending summers in Skagway since 2008 and winters in his home state of Minnesota. As Jim Devereaux reports, the back-and-forth lifestyle is inspiration for one of Weiler's latest songs.
Nate Weiler came to Alaska to fish, a respected profession, but one that would have kept his music away from the Lynn Canal. His guaranteed job fishing in Homer was given to someone else before he arrived. After a week of camping on a windy spit, Nate and a friend began a road trip that led to Skagway, where he has spent his summers ever since. Within a few hours of making his way into town, he had two new jobs, and Skagway had a new musician. Raised in Minnesota, Nate has long been musically inclined. Starting in the seventh grade with a drum set, Nate has since fine-tuned much of his sound to be an auditory perspective on the traveling life. One of his latest road songs was written this winter. Inspired instrumentally by Duluth musician Charlie Parr's picking style, Back and Forth visits a topic quite familiar in this part of the world.
I think it was probably me settling back into being back in Duluth, Minnesota, where I spend my winters. And from the last like 10 years, between seasonal work, working for wilderness programs where I'd work like 21 on, 20 off, or coming up to Alaska and being here for 6 months and being there for 6 months, it's this constant transition of back and forth that I'm always appreciative and conscious of the fact that I'm doing and trying to maintain all composure and good emotion in that. So, yeah, you know, as the song goes, I can't go back and forth without losing my mind, whether that mean going crazy or I think in some aspects losing your mind is a good thing to be present where you are at that time, but also appreciate the home that's beyond that, that you remember that you came from. And you will be going back there and then forth to.
Here's Nate Wyler, taking us back and forth. He taught me that there's no excuse to hide. I can't go back and forth without losing my mind. For KHNS, this is Jim Devereaux in Skagway. So far behind. And I won't go back and forth, just mind me and my
life. Ain't no road too long, ain't no hill too high. And this is Margaret Friednauer and Haynes for KHNS News. Special thanks to KTOO for help with this report. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. I was looking for another door to lead me through the way. It's locked and will be so for 3 more days. And rather than my breaking in, I will myself.